Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
All right. Welcome, welcome everyone to our What's in the News episode. We should just start right off by saying that we're recording this on Wednesday.
Yes.
Who knows what will happen by Friday? Who knows?
They always say the news, you know, travels fast, it changes fast, but man, does it change fast these days. Like,
it really does. I mean, it really does. I mean, I had my notes out, and I'm still going to talk about this a little bit, but of course, for us here in the United States, and actually this made global news, and that's very fun, we just had our first presidential debate yesterday.
We sure did.
And
yes,
that really did take over, so I'm sure we're going to spend most of our time talking about that. But
it's the only thing I have notes on because there's so much of it.
Well, last week, I think maybe last Friday, like the last time an episode aired for us, Trump's tax returns were leaked.
Oh, yes. Another very important topic
right
of conversation.
By the New York Times. So before we talked about the debates, I wanted to touch on that slightly. That's all I'd had in my notes before the debates happened. And then, of course, that took over. But
yep,
this was something that we had been kind of waiting for since Trump was elected. I mean,
I know,
typically, presidents have to release this kind of information.
Yeah.
And he refused, which was weird. Like, I can't believe how quickly people just kind of were like, this is fine.
Well, okay, yeah, exactly.
About that, it was weird. And, you know, during the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton speculated that he didn't want to release his tax returns because he maybe wasn't as rich as he said he was, or, you know, wasn't as successful as he said he
was.
Yeah,
that's such a great way to, like, challenge his ego.
Right. And I do believe, I mean, there was some story, I think, in the New York Times way back in the day when he was, like, on The Apprentice, where someone either who was on The Apprentice or who worked for him said that was the one thing that you couldn't touch upon. Oh, it was SNL. The people on SNL said that was the one thing that you weren't allowed to joke about.
That
because
makes
he was very sensitive about people not thinking he was rich. And it turns out.
No, I mean, he's just a huge cheapskate.
If you knew anything about him, you know, and his business history, he's kind of being hailed or has been hailed as this, like, mastermind of business. He wrote the Art of the Deal and all that stuff.
Well, and that was also, like, a big thing for his original presidential campaign.
Of
course.
Like,
oh, well, he's a businessman. He can come in and, you know, clean up the economy. That was, like, the whole
thing
that he ran on the first time.
But as it turns out, he was not a successful businessman, which actually people knew. So up until he, you know, started The Apprentice, became the host of The Apprentice, he was known in New York as this person who was kind of like, yes, we equate him with being wealthy. However, we all know that he sucks at business. He's failed at businesses. People who were kind of like in the know in New York City always looked at Donald Trump that way.
Right.
So it was after he started The Apprentice when the American people started to be like, he's successful. And he, you know, say what you want about him, like all the other absolute shitty things that he is, he was good at capitalizing on this belief that he was successful. And
right,
he was able to convince people, and his tax returns kind of show this, he was able to convince people to give him massive loans, basically just on the word that he was this successful millionaire. And
well, I mean, everybody bought into it. I mean, I think about like how many songs reference his riches before his presidency. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many references to Trump and his riches where it's still shocking to me that there isn't anything really to back that up, because that is so what he's known for.
Right. I mean, I remember there being like magazines that had him and Melania in them because of the way that they had decorated their Manhattan apartment, which was all like gold. Everything was gold and covered in
fucking tacky.
It's
come on.
So tacky. I mean, honestly, for somebody who claims to have had like this legacy of riches, it's so like nouveau riche, you know what I mean?
You know, I have to say this because we just did a Sex and the City episode, but do you remember when Carrie gets her engagement ring from Aiden and she hates it because it's like a gold band with like a stone on it, and she was like, oh, well, like, I like it when it's like my fun costume jewelry, not when it's like my engagement ring, which completely disagree with. Like, my ring will be gold, but yeah, there is something to me where like an excess of gold in particular is just kind of like, okay, buddy.
Gold jewelry is beautiful. I have gold jewelry. I think it looks nice on me. However, there is something to be said about like the Trump's apartment was like gold walls, gold ceiling. I love that we're just
referring to it as an apartment, because like when you're saying apartment, I'm picturing like my little one bedroom apartment that I'm currently in. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm picturing. But it was like definitely gold everything.
A massive apartment, but it was still an apartment. So that's too bad. Well, so the New York Times, I don't know how they found this information. I'm sure that you can find that online somewhere. But they did reveal this information, and they found that he paid no federal income taxes in 11 of the 18 years that they examined. And in 2017, after he became president, his tax bill was only $750. And let me tell you, I paid more than that in taxes in 2017. So, like, by a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, it's really nothing. Like, $750 is not even rent for my tiny one bedroom apartment in LA.
I have paid.
That's absurd to me.
I've paid health insurance, my health insurance, for 3 months now. And I've paid more than $750. I pay about $300 a month in health insurance. So I'm just saying, that's some ridiculous bullshit.
It's completely ridiculous. And I did have a few, you know, little mentions of that tied into my notes from the debate, because of course that was a topic of conversation, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, if you'd like.
Well, we don't need to go into details, but I do want to... I want to acknowledge that while he was declaring losses and not paying taxes, or paying very, 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 very little in taxes, he was continuing to live an incredibly lavish lifestyle, taking tax deductions on what most people would consider personal expenses, including residences, aircrafts, and my personal favorite, $70,000 in hairstyling.
I know, right?
For that hair.
Oh my God. Horrifying.
And not only that, you know, and again, we'll talk about this when we get in.
Yeah, I mean, it is just interesting with what he says about that. I mean, I don't have much to say, I guess, about what he said about it in the debate, but he does assure that he actually spent about millions of dollars
on his federal income taxes,
and he's assuring us that there is more paperwork to come, and the
bullshit.
Moderator,
your assurances mean nothing. Even the moderator, Chris Wallace, was like, then show us then. And he's like, I'll show you after the election. And it's like,
yeah,
bullshit.
It's coming. Yeah, exactly.
You've had 4 years to show us and you never did. And then again, speaking of the debates, which I'm sure we will get to and talk about a little bit, or at least touch on, Trump attacked Joe Biden's son during the debates, which was horrifying.
I started getting choked up over that. It was very hard to watch.
It was cruel. What he did was cruel.
And hearing Joe Biden repeatedly say "my son" in response, trying to like be heard, that was what did it for me. There's something about the repetitiveness of him saying that just broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and meanwhile, you have Ivanka Trump, who, while working as an employee at the Trump Organization, received consulting fees, in quotes, that helped to reduce the family's tax bill. So they did everything that they could, including, you know, for him, including using his children to reduce the amount of taxes that they would end up spending at the end of the year. And look, there are people who will say, well, this is the tax code. If you don't like it, you should, you know, lobby to have those laws changed.
Well,
or
and
whatever.
That's essentially what Donald Trump argued as well during the debates. Like, well, anyone who's not stupid or not a loser, or whatever word Trump used, has like, you know, fudged on their taxes a little bit. He's like, well, I mean, everyone
does. I write off absolutely everything I can on my taxes. I always do. It is smart to do that, you know, work with your tax person and do that. Like, I understand that. However, this is the same base. They're bending over backwards to make excuses as to why Trump is screwing the American people and not paying his fair share of taxes. Meanwhile, these are the same people who will condemn immigrants, who will say that, you know, black people are relying on the welfare state and taking advantage of the government. These are the same people. So don't give me that bullshit.
We're paying for that. Yeah. Like people, like you and I are the ones that are actually paying for those things. It isn't the wealthy people that are actually putting the big bucks into those things. And if they were government run, like businesses and organizations of any kind would probably run a hell of a lot better with more funding.
Well, I mean, absolutely. We do need to change the tax, you know, the tax code, because like a lot of people have pointed out, it's not just Donald Trump. The 1% have paid very few taxes just in general. Amazon paid, I think, nothing in taxes last year, which is insanity.
Yeah, I feel like that's become something that is so normalized in our culture, and it's something that especially I'm starting to, you know, something that's always enraged me, but I'm starting to look at a bit more closely of like, okay, maybe it doesn't have to be that way though. Like, what can we actually do to change it instead of just being like, oh my god, the 1%, well, what do we actually do to like change that?
You know, it doesn't have to be that way to be that way. And step number one is getting somebody else in office, so there's that.
Should we start talking about the debate then?
Yes, let's jump right into the debates.
I want to say that I got my information right off the bat from Apple News, the app on my phone. They had like a 10-minute podcast that was so helpful because literally they just like took all the noise away and like told me a few things that was going on. And then I had all my other recollections and I could like tie it all together because that was a shit show and I could not understand a word that anybody said. I understood what was going on and what people were saying, but like there was so much over talking.
Right. I mean, to drive it home for people who didn't watch the debate or maybe people who are not American, following this debate, this is how bad it was. The Commission on Presidential Debates said it would change its format after Trump's consistent interruptions during the first face-off with Joe Biden. So there
like,
will be.
Isn't that so humiliating? Like, we've noticed more and more, like, well, Trump is doing these things because there's no specific law or rule telling him not to. So he's just kind of like fudging through these things.
There were rules that his campaign agreed to.
That
which is
true.
Which is what Chris Wallace kept saying. Yeah. Like, your campaign
agreed to these two minutes.
Like, you agreed to these rules. He doesn't care because his entire strategy, he never had any intention on following those rules. Because he doesn't actually have any intelligent counter arguments. He doesn't actually have anything to say about policy reform or what he's going to do or plans to do in his next term. So his entire defense, his entire defense was basically just attack, 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 and make sure that no one can hear Joe Biden speak.
Yeah, it was a lot of buzzwords. It was a lot of fear-mongering. It was making sure that no one could hear Joe Biden. And you're exactly right. He doesn't have any idea what he's doing. So that is his plan of attack. But the thing is, I feel like his followers at this point have been brainwashed enough to understand his word salad and listen for those buzzwords that it's like it's not going to change people's minds at this point. Seeing
well,
the debate,
but that's the
like,
thing.
It still scares me.
This like, didn't do anything. Okay, we'll get into it. So anyway, the commission basically said that they are going to enforce new speaking limits. However, there are still no decisions made on whether or not you can cut off microphones, which is basically what everybody was saying, where they were like, they just need to turn his microphone off. And what I didn't understand was that Chris Wallace, he did try, and I could tell that he was trying very hard to keep them on track. However, there was at least two times, possibly three times that I noticed where Chris Wallace, you know, Trump had his time, Biden has had his time, and then Trump would want to rebuttal. And Chris Wallace would say, sorry, that's not how this works. We're moving on. And Trump would say, no, I'm answering this question, and go on to answer it. And I'm like, why aren't there rules that say, hey, you don't get to, like, you don't get to. I don't understand. They just let him talk. And I was like, why the fuck would you do? Okay. Anyway.
I know. So it was really something. My best friend, Katie, actually texted Max asking him to record me watching the debate and then send it to her. So there was that. And it was an interesting video. I had no idea that he had done it. And it was just pure horror. I mean, we were texting each other like crazy, and I sent you photos of just my face where I just held my phone out and I was like, what the fuck is happening? It was insane.
It was insane. So, I mean, if you were counting insults, okay, just like sheerly counting them down, you could say that Joe Biden actually hurled more insults than Trump. He called Trump a fool, a liar, a clown, a racist, Putin's puppy, and the worst president America ever had, and told him to shut up on a presidential debate stage, which I will say, yes, there is a cathartic moment for the entire country whenever you heard Biden say that to him. However, you guys, we are supposed to be, like,
you're supposed to be presidential.
Yeah, you are the president and the presidential nominee.
And this is former vice president. Like, it's not even you guys just are a nominee.
Acting like you're on an elementary school playground right now. Like, it was unbelievable.
But that was Trump's tactic. He's the bully on the playground, and you're the kid that's like, my mom told me that if I ignore him, he's going to go away. But the bully just keeps poking at you and poking at you and poking at you until you're finally just like, oh my God, go away.
And on the other side of that, Trump was unable, you know, as we've alluded to many times, unable to let a single moment pass without a rude interruption. He was continuously spewing falsehoods and personal attacks to the point where CNN actually called it an avalanche of lying. That's what CNN called it. Like, there were no fact checkers on site for this debate, which is annoying.
Yeah, so CNN did go through and fact check, and that was what was so helpful from this, like, Apple News Today thing that I listened to, because they actually went through the political things that were discussed that were completely lost on me during the debate because of all of the other things that were going on. Like, The thing that's upsetting at the end of the day, if we were to take away all of the insults and all of the craziness of the debate, there really wasn't a whole lot of talk about what either of their plans would be as president.
Almost none. So, and I do believe that Joe Biden would have given us that had he been given the opportunity. But the whole thing just devolved. And also, you know, Joe Biden doesn't operate well under pressure. It was my concern before this debate even started. Like, he has proven himself time and again in debates, time and again, that he does not operate well under pressure. He can't ignore or tune out the opponent. And he was not able to do that last night at all.
He wasn't, but I have to say that he humanized himself quite a bit, which I think for the American voter is a very important thing, because I was liking him more and more as I was watching him. It was before he even made any comments or said anything. It was just his demeanor, you know. Of course, at the start, you know, everything is kind of a bit more cordial. And then as soon as Biden opens his mouth is when Trump kind of starts, you know, running his.
Yeah.
But Biden's kind of settling into that and being like, okay, I'm just going to, like, this is what it's going to be. This is what I'm going to do. Like, he smiled and laughed a lot. And, like, of course, you know, it's weird for a debate, but there was something very human about it because it was like, it was a connection.
By comparison, Biden absolutely looked like the adult in the room. Between the two of them, I mean, Chris Wallace looked like the adult in the room. But Biden
was insane, because it's like, I felt like I was watching, like, myself running a play date where the two aren't getting along and I have to, like, get them to both tell me their side of the story and then, like, calm them down. And he's just failing at it miserably and, like, can't get either of them to state their point.
Right. But, like, going along with what you just said, let's talk about the ways in which Trump seemed to hurt his own cause. So,
yes,
he it doesn't appear to me as though he came into the debate with any strategy other than to drown out Joe Biden and to attack him as much as possible, because he spread misinformation about voting by mail and he pushed a false narrative that the process was rigged. But Democrats have been requesting mail ballots at far greater numbers in several key states, which is causing a lot of, like, Republican strategists to worry that Trump is scaring away his own supporters. So by causing this fear about voting by mail, now you have caused this conundrum amongst your supporters where maybe they're old and they don't want to go vote in person, but right. they don't trust voting by mail now. So it's possible they might not vote at all. And then in addition to that, he mocked Biden for wearing a face mask, even though polls prove that most people actually don't have a problem with masks.
Yeah.
And so he didn't win over any undecided voters there. When Joe Biden refused to endorse some of the policies popular under progressives like AOC, including a packed Supreme Court and the Green New Deal, Trump said that Biden had just lost the left. And you could tell that he was saying that as like, oh, see, you just lost him. I'm going to win. Yeah. However, all that does is make moderate voters, maybe ones who voted for him and voted for Trump in 2016, feel more comfortable because undecided moderate voters are now saying, oh, he might not be the ultra liberal that I thought he was. Even Trump is saying that he's not the ultra liberal.
Yes. I mean, Trump even, you know, he brought up the crime bill that we mentioned during our Joe Biden, Kamala Harris episode. And, you know, he was attacking Biden for some of the things that, yes, will turn around and bite him in the ass.
Right. And another thing that he did, which I don't think was a good look for him, that we talked about, you know, touched on a little bit earlier, is that he went after Joe Biden's son, Hunter, for having been discharged from the Navy for cocaine. And all that did, in my opinion, was give Biden the opportunity, like you said, to humanize himself, because what he did was look directly into the camera and he did a impassioned appeal to both military families and those with people, you know, loved ones or people themselves who are struggling with addiction. So he just allowed
It was a very moving moment in a very chaotic scene, I have to say. It was a very, very, very moving moment. It was very hurtful what he did, but Joe Biden really responded in a way that I thought was so dignified and wonderful. I mean,
I think it backfired on Trump. I do.
It definitely backfired because he, again, was bringing up the fact that he called, you know, military members losers. You know what I mean? He's calling back to very recent news that we can, like, call up and pull up the receipts,
well, and,
you know?
And the fact is, the United States has an opioid crisis. We have a drug addiction crisis in this country. And there are a lot of people who are going to sympathize and empathize with having family members who are in that situation. And so for Trump to attack Joe Biden's son based on something like that, he just alienated a bunch of voters or potential voters.
It is a really good point because, I mean, I have family members who, you know, suffer from addiction and also support Trump. It would be interesting, you know, if they saw the debate, if they've heard these things, what their thoughts would be on that.
Absolutely.
You know,
but here's what I'll say. After the debate last night, I was having a really difficult time. I was crying. I was very upset. I couldn't really laugh at a lot of the memes that I was seeing going around.
Mm-mm.
And here's why. Because I was and am terrified about what's going to happen. And here's why. So during the debate, when they were talking about racial issues, which I will tell you was an awkward thing to watch two septuagenarians talk about race to white guys. it was awkward already. But at one point, and I do kind of give a little bit of respect to Chris Wallace, who is actually from Fox News, so my expectations were not high, for really pushing Trump to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump was asked to condemn white supremacy and to condemn far right extremist groups. Specifically, he was asked to condemn the Proud Boys. And instead of doing that, you could tell, I mean, this man looked like he was sweating. He was trying to avoid answering the question.
Yeah.
But luckily, Chris Wallace didn't let up on him and insisted that he answer. He did not condemn white supremacy, which should be enough for anyone who's on the fence. It's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. Every Republican president in my lifetime up until this point would have denounced white supremacy had they been asked.
100% without hesitation.
Without hesitation.
White supremacy.
I don't think it would have been a thing that was at all a problem. And instead, Trump basically said, well, I think all of the violence is coming on the left. And Chris Wallace basically said, that doesn't answer my question.
Yeah.
Will you condemn the white supremacy extremist groups? And he said, oh, sure, I'll tell the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by.
Yep.
And the moment he said that, Anthony was outside. You know, he was out on our balcony just taking a break. And I yelled so loud because I know exactly what that means. And then for him to have done that and also compounded it by refusing to agree to the results of the election and refusing to agree to a peaceful transition of power, those two things combined, I knew exactly what that meant, which is that you are giving the go-ahead for when you lose this election for these militant right-wing groups who we have already seen conduct violence.
Yeah.
You are giving them permission to attack everybody else, to attack the left. You are inciting a civil war. You're absolutely doing that. I really feel like people thought that I was being, like I was exaggerating or I was being dramatic.
No. That's what I've been telling everybody and their mother. It's like, vote, vote, vote. And I'm like, yes, vote, get out there, vote. But start like taking more action now. Like voting is not going to be enough right now because our vote doesn't, like, I don't want to say it doesn't matter because like, we have to vote.
Matters. Like, it matters. The vote matters. Like, you have everyone to vote. Needs to vote. You have like, to vote.
Yes.
But also be aware.
There's more than that. Like, you have to start, like, actually figuring out ways that we can organize and affect change or at least maintain our sanity if we have to deal with this.
Well, here's the thing. And again, I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm not trying to be this person who's sucking all the hope. I want people to have hope. I do. But I also want people to be very aware that they should be very, very scared. Because as soon as that happened, the Proud Boys started rallying. And by the way, they are on all kinds of watch lists. And around the same time, the FBI released a report that said that we need to be fearful of right-wing terrorism, right-wing extremism, and they actually said that the period between the presidential election and the inauguration is a flashpoint period. So if anything is going to happen, it's going to happen between that time. And there was a neo-Nazi named Andrew Anglin, and he runs the Daily Stormer, which is a neo-Nazi website. He's actually a defendant in the Integrity for USA's lawsuit for orchestrating the Charlottesville riots and violence that happened in Charlottesville. So I'm just going to read, I won't read the entire thing, but I will read a portion of what he said in response to what Trump said. He said, quote, "I think he's ready to go. I believe it now. I didn't know before, but I am now a believer. Trump is ready for a war in the streets of America to save this country from the beast that is riding in on Joe Biden. He didn't condemn anyone, and he didn't tell them to stand down. He told them to stand back and stand by. What that appears to me to indicate is wait until I give the signal. I got shivers. I still have shivers. He is telling the people to stand by, as in get ready for war." Then he said, "You remember when I told you that the people who go to protests with guns are trivializing the fact that there is going to come a time when we will need to go out in the streets with guns for some other reason than playing dress up? Well, that time could be coming before the end of the year. Of course, Trump is going to give the orders, and the first calls for people in the streets will be unarmed, but it could escalate very quickly to a shooting war. Prepare yourself for that." So they are literally taking what he said
very seriously.
As we need to stand by. We are ready to fight a civil war.
They've even like made an emblem already with that on it. Yeah.
They've made emblems that say stand by on them. They've also taken an image of Kyle Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. And they've been sharing that says stand back and stand by on it.
Yeah.
They've absolutely, Trump can't plead ignorance, which is kind of what he's been trying to do today.
Yeah.
He can't plead ignorance, and even if he did, it doesn't matter. You're the president of the United States. Your words have fucking power, and you should have denounced white supremacy the fucking second it was asked of you.
Yeah.
And refusal to do that, anything less than denouncing it, is endorsing it, period. So.
I agree. I agree.
I'm scared.
Yeah, no, I'm fucking terrified. I mean, I luckily still found great cathartic moments in the humor of it just because I fucking had to. And like Max kept saying, he's like, if this wasn't real, I would be laughing right now, because it was absurd. It was like watching an episode of Veep. Like, it was crazy. But the scary thing is that it's fucking real. It's not funny. So as great as it is to have the meme that says, shut up, man. And like, there is something in that that just, it just made me feel a little bit better when I was literally like, Max kept having to remind me to quiet down. I was being so loud. I was just like, fuck. And he was like, you can't do that.
Well, luckily everybody was kind of in the same boat. I'm sure my neighbors heard me yelling and I'm sure they knew exactly why.
Dude, I mean, I don't know. I'm really concerned about my, okay, I'm gonna talk really low because I don't know how thin all these walls are. My neighbor has like straight up red, white, and blue, red, like red and white stripes, blue walls in her apartment. She's been like painting it throughout the pandemic. I don't know what's going on. I'm very scared.
I think it's also really sad. We got to wrap up this episode, but
I know, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just having this conversation with Anthony where this is really sad, you guys. Like, I see a house that has American flags on it or an American flag flying, yeah, and I assume that that person is racist now.
Oh,
like
same.
That's so sad to me as someone, yeah, who grew up proud to be an American, for right or wrong. I was proud to be an American as a child.
I thought you were going to start singing the song.
No, we all got enough of that in the years 2001 to 2003.
Yes, but, we did.
But for me, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that I can't look at that's a house that has the American flag on it and not think, I bet you there's a racist inside.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is very sad, and it's, gosh, that's a whole huge issue and something that I've dealt with my family, and I'm sure you've dealt with your family, you know, talk of like patriotism and what that means and things like that. And yeah, I definitely feel the same way. I feel much better if I see someone with like an American flag, but then also have like a rainbow flag or a Black Lives Matter flag.
Sure.
You know, yeah, something, tie it together for me, you know?
Patriotism means wanting freedom for every person who lives here.
Yes.
And real freedom and what that actually means. Like, so anyway, I just wanted to let everyone know I'm not trying to suck your hope out of you. I want you to remain hopeful. I want you to believe in this country. I believe in this country, and I want this country to be better.
Yeah. I feel like what we're asking for is long-term hope. And that's kind of what I keep reminding myself, because we expect very quick change a lot of times as Americans. And I think a lot of people even believe that if Biden was president, all of this would just be fixed. And
no.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, is that there are countries, civilizations, you know, all throughout history that have dealt with much longer, darker periods than we have. And they have sustained and worked through it and continued to fight. So I'm not asking for, you know, short-term hope. We're not just waiting for November 3rd or, you know, January 21st or wherever, you know, the inauguration is. You know, we're holding on for a very, very long time. You know, it's a different kind of hope. It's less anticipation. It's more of just like preparing yourself.
Right.
Arming right. yourself with whatever knowledge and, you know, guidance that you need, and so preparing yourself for a long battle of
ahead. We need to eliminate the short-term threat, right? And the short-term threat is Trump. So we all need to go and we need to vote and we need to get him out of office. That's the mm-hmm. short-term threat. The long-term threat is the fact that the people who vote for Trump are still going to exist in this country.
Exactly.
The systems that upholds, you know, systemic oppression against minority groups are still going to exist in this country. So
yeah, they didn't
no matter
start
who's
with
president,
Trump, they're not going to end with Trump. You know
right.
what I mean? There's still a lot that we have to do.
So that stuff needs to be taken care of. But for now until November 3rd, eyes on the fucking prize. Please, please vote.
For real.
Please
For real.
Vote, especially if you live in a swing state. If you are a young person, which I know we have young people on this podcast, if this is maybe your first time voting, call your friends. Get three of them to come vote with you, because let me tell you, I feel like such an old lady, but it is you who is going to save us this election. It
100%.
Really is. It's the people who couldn't vote in 2016 who can vote right now. So mm-hmm. I need you guys... I need you guys to show up, please.
I know. Please, 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 please vote Biden.
And my fellow millennials, please, please.
I know. Every time I just see it say vote, though, I want to write a marker, Biden. Like, don't just tell people to vote because the other side's already voting. Tell people to vote for fucking Biden, motherfuckers. Sorry, I'm done. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. If you would like to email us with anything, go ahead and do that. Our email is neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. You can also direct message us and follow us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Twitter that we sometimes use at YAMF Podcast,
YANF
Podcast. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. You can also... You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That is what helps us out the most, and we really appreciate it. Also, if you don't already, go ahead and listen to us on Radio Public. It is a free way for you to listen to us, and it helps us a little tiny bit. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all of that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.